understanding what qualitative researchers need, understanding the software and the tools they used, what were they frustrated with, and then we utilized our skills to design a product that we felt like would be great for us, and then found that it was really great for other researchers as well. So that's how I ended up as the co-founder of Delve.
The Digital to Learn podcast is dedicated to exploring both what's new and what's good in the use of technology in teaching and learning.
Our mission is to have the best minds sitting in front of our microphones sharing evidence-based strategies for digital teaching and learning.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Thank you for joining us. And now, the Digital to Learn podcast.
Welcome to the Digital to Learn podcast. I'm Tiffany Snyder, and I'm here with my co-host, Brad Gardner. Hey, Brad.
Greetings.
This is going to be a fun series of episodes for us. We are here to welcome Lai Yi of Delve Qualitative Analysis Software. Lai Yi Ho is the co-founder of Delve, where she builds online software for qualitative coding and publishes educational content, such as the Guide to Qualitative Coding. Before starting Delve, she was a UX designer and researcher at various tech companies. She did qualitative research for many years and found herself frustrated with the existing analysis tools before breaking off on her own and building a new qualitative analysis tool with her co-founder, Alex. We're excited to welcome to the Digital to Learn podcast, Lai Yi Ho of Delve. Welcome, Lai Yi.
Hey, Tiffany. Great to be here.
We would like to kick it off with some get-to-know-you questions. And before we even do that, I just have to mention, I dreamt of a day when I would have an opportunity to interview Lai Yi. I, in fact, was most curious about whether or not she was a robot or a real person. And I need to backtrack a little bit. So I was using Delve Qualitative Analysis Software and had a few questions. And I decided to engage the chat box, which was conveniently prompting me and whether or not I needed help. And I did need help. We all know that. But I went ahead and I started conversing back and forth with this chat box. And lo and behold, it was a real person. And that real person that I had a chance to chat with is Lai Yi. And so what a dream this is for me to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, here I am from the chat box to the podcast.
Yes, chat box to podcast.
We'll yeah.
I did my homework and I saw that you live in New York City and you love to take group fitness classes. That's a bit creepy and personal, but it wasn't an interview. So let's
acknowledge
that. To kick it off with some of your favorites, then, what is your favorite fitness genre or class?
So I do long distance running. So last year I did my first New York City Marathon. Whoa. And then outside of that, that was big. And then outside of that, any kind of boot camp or high intensity interval class is super fun for me.
Interesting. Wow. How about your favorite musical genre?
Music? Pretty much anything that can pump me up for the run. I like to change it up because long distance can be long. Changing up the music is good.
Do you have a favorite?
Honestly, it's just whatever at the moment is like my vibe for that particular run. Sometimes something a little more mellow if I want to be chill, or if I want to pick it up and have it be a fast workout, then something with a faster beat.
So if you're doing a marathon, do you have a playlist that lasts the whole time?
Yeah, I do. So sometimes... I didn't plan it this way for the marathon, but sometimes for a shorter race, I'll actually plan like for the beat to be faster as time goes on.
So
that it's like, so it's slower in the beginning, like take it easy. Don't go too fast towards the end. Pick it up.
That's interesting. Wow.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, whenever I am jogging and it's slower than it should be, I'm just going to blame it on my songs being too mellow.
Oh yeah, you should.
Sorry, I had the wrong song.
If you recommend a playlist for me, I walk about 100 yards a day. So I would anything you can suggest would be very helpful to get me through that.
To make his arms pump a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, actually, for really long runs, I like to listen to podcasts. Because, you know, then you can get engaged in the conversation. You don't have to, really pay attention to the beat. That's more for like a chill run. So
yeah,
I could definitely recommend this podcast right here.
Thank you. Apple Podcasts, yeah. Google Podcast, Podbean, and go through the whole spiel.
Yeah.
All right. How about favorite movie genre?
Yeah. So for movies, I like anything that when you watch it, it'll change your perspective. Like it draws you into the story.
Ooh.
So specifically, recently I've really liked Tokyo Godfathers by Satoshi Kon. And there's also Cloud Atlas by the Wachowski sisters. Those are both great films.
I'm going to have to check these out.
Last question, book genre.
Book genre, yeah, it's same kind of criteria for movies. So anything that can draw you into a story and twist your worldview stays with you for a while. So I recently finished reading Promised Neverland, which is a great series that you should check out. And then another genre I like separate from that is any kind of business philosophy or inspiration book. Yeah. So I really like Let My People Go Surfing, which was written by the founder of Patagonia. And that's given me a lot of guiding principles for Dell as well.
Nice.
Hey, Brad, will you let us go surfing?
Sure, absolutely. On the river that runs through Marion, Indiana, perhaps?
This has been a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
That won't take long.
Well, in our homework, our researching, if you will, we saw that in an interview with one of your former employers, Wink, you said that if Wink offered superlative awards, you would win the messiest desk category.
Yep.
I have the quote. It says, "I'm notorious for the stacks of paper, sticky notes, and books piled up in my space. Someone gave me a copy of The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, and I lost it under my pile of stuff." I loved that. And I actually thought about all of our faculty listeners, thousands, actually Brad would say millions, faculty out there listening to this podcast who can resonate with a very messy desk. And so we decided that messy desks must be the trademark of geniuses. So
of course.
It's great to have you here.
Although, full disclosure, we need to say to our listeners, we have Layi on video, and she has situated her camera in such a way that there's a very deep, orderly background behind her.
Yes. Well, I mean, in the age of Zoom, I think everybody has now mastered what their background looks like. And then if I turn my camera just slightly to the left, I think you'll be able to understand the quote that I shared in that previous interview.
Well, we're going to transition now to the serious stuff, the reasons why we have you here. But first, can you tell us your story? How did you get to Delve? What's the backstory? What led you to the creation of Delve?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my story begins as a UX designer and researcher. So right out of college, I worked at tech companies. And then basically the goal there was to make products that are easy for people to use. So I worked at Amazon, worked on some mass market consumer products while I was there. And then I jumped over to a startup called Wink in New York City. And through that journey, like while I was working as a designer, I always had a lot of questions about the users and the customers. Like I wanted to know, okay, why are they doing this kind of behavior? Why are they, you know, how can I design it so they can help them with the task that they're doing? And then through that journey, I started to become really into research methods, like qualitative research methods, specifically to try and answer my own questions. Like, okay, what is somebody looking for when they come to this app? How do they do this? But as I was conducting qualitative research at the time, I was doing things very manually with my analysis, using a lot of post-it notes or creating custom spreadsheets. And while a lot of the technology that I was using for my work was really, you know, I think great, like top of the line, like there's so much good software out there now with email, like task management. But then something like qualitative analysis was totally manual for me. I became very frustrated with the way that I was doing my analysis. Very hard to keep track of the insights and difficult for me to really verify, you know, where my insights even came from, even though I was doing the analysis. So while I was at my previous company, I became, you know, inspired with this idea to build a better tool, specifically just for the process of finding insights. And then my co-founder, Alex, who had also worked at that company, both of us broke off. Yeah, we both worked together before. And then now the two of us are co-founders for Delve. And then the story of Delve is really just understanding what qualitative researchers need, understanding the software and the tools they used, what were they frustrated with. And then we utilized our skills to design a product that we felt like would be great for us. And then found that it was really great for other researchers as well. So that's how I ended up as the co-founder of Wink, or of Delve, sorry.
So when you think about UX, if I'm on the Amazon website, for example,
yeah,
are they collecting data on where I'm clicking and how I'm clicking to see what, to make it more usable?
Yeah. So a lot of these tech products are definitely aggregating behavioral data. So like, you know, figuring out where you're clicking and what you're doing. And actually in a lot of my previous roles, like we had plenty of that, like plenty of information on where people were clicking and what they were doing. But what we were missing was why. Like, you know, if we made a new sign up button, why aren't they clicking it? We know like the numbers, we don't know if it's actually a good experience or not. Okay. So that's why the qualitative aspect of doing the interviews or doing the focus groups or surveys where we're asking more in-depth questions, like those became a lot more important in terms of being something that we want to pair with the behavioral data that we were getting.
Something I'm always curious about, and I want you to rate this on a 1 to 10, 10 being terrifying, 1 being, just another thing. How was it starting a new business?
Yeah, so I would say it wasn't as terrifying as I thought.
Okay.
So I think like when you think about starting a business, it's extremely terrifying. But I think when I was evaluating, you know, whether to stay at my job or whether to start a new company, I think I realized the prospect of not trying to start a business was more terrifying to me than the fears of starting
That's
one.
Fascinating.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And confirmation that it's probably what you should have done too. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw an article that you wrote, I believe it was on the Delve blog actually, where you compared the Delve tool to other qualitative software that's out there. And I thought you did an excellent job of commenting on the advantages of each tool, really giving fair credit to each tool, but also sharing why yours was unique. Can you share a bit more about what features of Delve exist and why you chose those features and let others go?
Yeah.
In terms of prioritization? Yeah.
For sure. And just to give some background, so Delve is a tool that allows people to analyze transcripts from in-depth interviews and focus groups. You can code the data, find insights, filter and search. And ultimately, you can find insights and check your biases as you're writing your report. So the different tools that people use for qualitative coding, it spans everything from a manual process, whether it's like pen and paper, you know, highlighting a piece of paper where you printed out your transcript and then you cut pieces out, put them into piles. On one end, you've got that. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have software that has existed for a long time in the industry. Things like Invivo, Atlas TI, there's Deduce. So there's a number of software that exists specifically made for qualitative analysis. And then in the middle, there's also a lot of people that use things like Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel to make their own custom way of doing it. So where Delve sits is that we utilize some of the philosophies of the qualitative analysis tools, meaning we're thinking about how people are doing qualitative analysis, but we want to make it as easy as using Microsoft Word or using Google Docs. So a lot of people are pretty familiar with the idea of going onto a website and then highlighting their text. So we want to make it as intuitive as that, but then we bring it one step further so that once you do your coding, you've got some of the specific things like filtering your insights by demographic, searching for a quote across all documents, getting a code co-occurrence matrix. And then our design philosophy through the whole thing is to keep it very streamlined, simple, and intuitive as you're working on it.
Fascinating.
And it is.
How long did it take you to do that, to create this tool?
So we started our company 3 years ago, and we didn't do any design or write a single line of code for 6 months. So like there was actually 6 months of really just diving into the problem and understanding how researchers are doing their research now, just to like really learn. And then after that, it was pretty quick, just a couple months to get our first version of Delve up. And then since then, it's been a process of slowly iterating, you know, listening to feedback, listening to people who are reaching out to us as chatbots and seeing what people are asking for. And then we're basically just incrementally building it as we go. So it's definitely not finished in any way. We love learning about how people are using it. And then we're always building new features to fit what people are asking for.
It just sounds like you enjoy the process of what you're doing.
Yeah, no, I love the process. I think that's really the joy in it. It's really just kind of learning what people are doing and how can we keep making the product
better.
That's
a wonderful thing.
As both a student and an educator, what I loved about Delve is that when you are interacting with that chat box, it does have the picture of Alex or of Lai right there next to the chat box, and you feel like you're talking to a real person. And I think education, we've learned in this podcast, as well as in our own experiences, this is happening for students too, where they may be taking a massive online open course and getting feedback, and they're not really sure if that immediate feedback is coming from a robot or a person. And we're trying we work at Indiana Wesleyan University National and Global Campus. We're really trying to personalize that feedback experience for our students and making sure that they feel the richness of the human interaction. I love that about Delve. I also reflected with my husband and said, I think I might be mistaken that Delve right now is just Lai and Alex, because those are the two running the chat box. And that makes it really nice for the user, because you're talking to the developer of the tool on a regular basis. Can you expand a bit? Is that your whole team right now? And how do you plan for a growing number of users and what that feedback exchanges will be like?
Yeah, it's cool that you picked up on that. So it is just me and Alex. And one thing that I really like about, you know, the fact that it's just the two of us is that any user, you know, including when you're using it, when you're reaching out and giving us feedback, like, it's direct to the creators. Sometimes, like, if you reach out to me in the chat and you have an idea, like, I'm immediately going into my Slack chat and messaging Alex, like, hey, what do you think? Like, can we do this? Just like in comparison to my previous experience working at larger companies, there's usually a lot of steps before something from a customer can get to an engineer or a designer or a product manager that can actually make the decision to put it into the product. It's just kind of the nature of how organizations work, a lot of communication channels and processes. But for us, it's direct to us. And I think that that's what I've always wanted. Like, when I became a UX designer from the beginning of my career, it was just direct to the customer. And then as far as how we are able to manage to support all the customers that we have, a lot of that is thanks to technology that exists today. Mm-hmm. So if Alex and I if we started this company 10 years ago, we probably would need at least a dozen staff to do what we do now. But the way the technology has gone, you know, everything from payment processing to calendar scheduling to finding bugs in the software, there's a lot of incredible software that exists for businesses like us and automates a lot of pieces of it so that we can focus on the human aspect, the part that's difficult to automate, which is listening to our users, understanding what they need, and then actually building the software to fit what they need.
That's awesome. Well, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
This has been a great conversation with our friend Lai Yi Ho of Delve, and we're going to be back next week for part two. So join us on Digital to Learn.
Thank you for joining us on Digital to Learn.
If you enjoyed this podcast, there are three things we ask you to do. One, come back and join us again. Two, tell your friends about us. And three, give us a positive ranking on your favorite podcast platform.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
It's a digital world.
Always keep learning.